Welcome to Wellness Rebranded, the podcast where a dietitian, a personal trainer, and a mental health therapist get together to explore health and wellness from three different healing perspectives. I'm Elizabeth, registered dietitian and certified intuitive eating counselor.
I'm Maria, licensed mental health therapist.
And I'm Tara, personal trainer. We believe in finding ways to nourish a healthy relationship with our mind and body, eating for well-being, not weight, finding joy in moving our bodies, and embracing and understanding our emotions. We are here to help you redesign your relationship with food, fitness, and yourself.
How great would it be if you got science-based guidance from qualified professionals instead of trying out conflicting, overhyped, and unproven trends?
If that sounds as awesome to you as it does to us, join us every week as we dig into strategies to enrich and enhance our day-to-day life and health.
And let's start rebranding your wellness journey.
Hello, lovely listeners. Before we dive into today's episode, we have an exciting announcement. As a thank you for your continued support, we created a complimentary self-care planner download. We want to share with you quick and easy ideas to practice self-care, as well as thought-provoking journal prompts to inspire reflection and self-awareness. It also includes suggestions for how you can keep track of your wellness habits in a healthy and supportive way. Simply click on the link in the show notes to grab your copy, and let's prioritize our wellness.
Welcome back to another episode of Wellness Rebranded. I am Elizabeth here with Tara and Maria.
Hello.
And ladies, we are fired up and want to call out some wellness culture, diet culture BS today, right? We're having, side note for you listeners, this is actually a bit of an unplanned episode. Three of us were just sitting around talking and we started going down this rabbit hole of this conversation. And all of a sudden we're like, hold the presses. We need to go in the recording studio right now and record this because it's important to get out there. And here we are. Yeah. Okay. So Tara, tell us, let's start with the walking BS.
Okay, so here's what happened on Instagram this week, in case you missed it, which you probably did, because I think it was a fairly niche thing. But there are two well-known fitness influencers, one of whom has a podcast, and this other person is a doctor, like a medical doctor. And she was on the podcast and said something along the lines of, like, walking doesn't count as exercise. And to my surprise, his response as the host was like, thank you. I've been thinking that for years. And I can't believe that nobody's brought it up until this point. To at which point, me as the listener, the watcher, I was like, what the heck? Like, get out of here. That is like the biggest crock of crap I've ever heard. Like, of course, walking is exercise.
Yes. And so it got us talking about Maria's face.
No, I'm just wondering, what is their definition of exercise? What is their understanding? Exercise for what, to with what purpose? Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so I do think it is possible that in the full context of that episode, that maybe they were talking about something like bodybuilding and like, oh, walking in your neighborhood isn't going to get you to look like a bodybuilder. Like, true, right? But that's not what the clip that has been circulating said. The clip that said, that's been circulating said, walking doesn't count as exercise, which is like unequivocally false.
Not only is it aerobic exercise, but it's also weight bearing.
Yeah. Oh, walking has like a whole ton of benefits. Not only is it good for your heart and your lungs, it also builds bone density. It also builds like muscular endurance, specifically in your lower body. It's also just really good for like mental health and health in general. Like, everybody should be doing more walking. I firmly believe it is like the most underrated form of exercise available to like literally 99% of the population.
And without equipment.
Yeah, yeah.
Except your legs.
Yeah,
your shoes.
It's so
and I think
accessible.
The context of the, I was trying to think back, Tara, I'm like, and why did we start talking about that? And it was because we were having a conversation around sometimes, right? People, we'll just use nutrition for an example, pick the most sort of optimal, idealized kernel of information/guidance about something related to nutrition, And then present that as the thing that everybody needs to be doing. And what's missing from that is nuance and context and
individual differences.
Individual differences, right. Like if I...
Sometimes evidence.
Well, yeah, oftentimes evidence. Thank you. But it's not helpful to people. It, you know, I often say usually the things that circulate about food out in diet culture have some kernel of something that came from something useful. Like we'll use the example of, you know, there's that thing if that people say, if you can't pronounce the ingredients, it's not a food that you shouldn't be eating.
I hate that.
But actually, like, I don't know, if someone says, if a label says something like ascorbic acid, the average person may not know that that's actually vitamin C.
Yep.
Right. And there's a whole bunch of things like that, that you maybe wouldn't know what they are, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily things that shouldn't be included in your food.
Not only that, you're going to put nothing in your shopping cart because, yes. You know, so you're going to end up going to the supermarket and say, I can't have none of these because at some point, some of them are going to have something right. that you can't pronounce.
Right. And so there's the context of that is like, it probably came from a relatively well-meaning viewpoint of, yeah, we want to encourage people to eat lots of whole foods, right? But where it gets lost is in a few different places. Of one, it turns into this fear-mongering thing about making people think that they're putting poison potentially yep. in their bodies if they're not doing it or they can't understand what the ingredient is. And or it there's fear mongering in the sense of it can lead to disordered eating, right? Now, all of a sudden, I'm like hyper aware and it's detracting from other areas of my life and it's preventing me from living a normal life because it's turned into, you know, disordered eating or orthorexia or something like that. Mm. And then it misses also the nuance of, well, I mean, are you only eating that food or are you eating a whole bunch of other foods that maybe happen to be really nutrient dense whole foods? And then you occasionally include some of these foods. So it's missing the big picture of yeah. who are you as an individual and what does your diet look like overall, right? Sure, it's, you know, probably better, or it is better for your health to eat more whole foods, but that doesn't mean that there's no room for any processed foods and there's differences in the types of processed foods. So that's like another criticism of it. But then lastly, where you and I think started that conversation, Tara, is the, if I'm over here and I'm not, you know, maybe aren't eating any fruits and vegetables or any whole foods, or maybe there's a, you know, a financial access element of it. And those happen to be the things that I can afford and put on the table in front yeah. of my family. Yeah. But you're over here saying it's terrible nutrition and blah, blah, blah. Well, it just, one, it may just completely disregard where a person is at individually, mm-hmm. or two, it may be like asking you to run a marathon before you can run a 5K. Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I mean, walk a 5K or whatever.
Either way.
Yeah, it just like, it's not helpful to you as an individual, which is where working with a, you know, someone who's A, evidence-based, but also a health professional with knowledge and understanding and the counseling skills to kind of meet you where you're at is really, really important. And it gets lost out there in diet culture.
Yeah, I hear this all the time, like when people at the gym ask me about like a very specific exercise for this very tiny muscle or whatever. And it's like their first day at the gym. And I'm like, hey, this is like mowing your grass while your house is on fire. Let's focus on you coming consistently to the gym
yeah.
first.
Yeah.
And then eventually down the road, when all these other things are taken care of, then we can talk about that.
Right.
You know, there's no need to cut your grass if your house is burning down.
Yeah, and that's a much better analogy than the one that I gave. So I also wanted to touch on seed oils, because that's a thing that comes up a lot. And it's a really great example of sort of the misinformation or fear mongering or like, you know, misguided way that it takes mm-hmm. it. So Maria, you were asking, well, what are seed oils? Yeah. They are cooking or salad oils that are pressed from seeds. And so some examples are canola oil, sunflower oil, grapeseed oil, safflower oil. And there's a tons of fear mongering around seed oils out in the world that they contribute to inflammation. And so there's a lot of people who come to me and like, my partner or so-and-so is like telling me we shouldn't be ever eating seed oils. And now I feel worried about it and I'm trying to make peace with food and I don't know how to reconcile it. And so we always sort of go back to like, well, let's look at the actual data, because the truth about seed oil, linoleic acid, which is a form of omega-6 that's in the seed oils, turns into a thing called arachidonic acid in your body, which is a building block for a compound of inflammation.
Elizabeth busting out those big words today.
And so I think that's where like the initial fear mongering around it came from. But there are lots of studies that show that actually only a small percentage of that is converted into arachidonic acid in the body.
Would our body not just digest this normally and then eliminate it through our normal waste production?
Well, yes, probably so. But they're saying that it contributes, the thought is that it contributes to inflammation in the body because it produces this compound, like interim compound that is known or linked with inflammation. However, there are multiple kind of a review study that I was looking at just recently that doesn't actually show a relationship between omega-6 intake, because we know omega-3 fatty acids, we hear a lot about, they're great for heart health, brain health, right?
Sure.
But omega-6s, it's more the ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s that
like we're eating too much omega-6 and not enough omega-3.
Yeah, that we worry about specifically. But also what a lot of those influencers and people who are fear-mongering around seed oils miss is that that arachidonic acid, that middle intermediary that I told you about, it also produces compounds that fight inflammation. And so it's just the point is, it's not as clear cut as what we're led to believe out there. There's nuance missing in the conversation. A lot of the inflammatory claims are on research done in rodents, which doesn't necessarily contribute to humans. And like another part of the nuance of the conversation is, you know, people maybe out in social media are talking about how much better they feel when they cut out seed oils, right?
Who's eating so much seed oil?
Well,
I feel like that's not a common thing in my diet.
Well, it probably is a common thing in your diet, because canola oil, for example, is in a lot of foods, but it's not the only thing you're eating. I'm sure you're not eating a vat of it, right? Yeah. If you're cooking with it in your home, you're only using, you know, a relatively small proportion, but also the people that claim that they're feeling better when they cut it out, well, you don't know what their starting point was, right?
Maybe because they're cutting out all the processed foods.
Well, and it's in a lot of like high fat or like fried ultra processed foods, which also are higher in added sugars. They're higher in sodium. They're lower in nutrients. They're lower in fiber. So if you cut those out and you're replacing it with something else that maybe is more whole food-ish, right? Well, was it the removal of the seed oil that made you feel better? Or is it that you've made this really helpful shift in the overall quality of the food that you're eating?
Yeah.
So there's just nuance missing in the conversation that leads to fear mongering, and it does harm, because then there are a lot of people out there, you know, the dietary guidelines really were encouraging people to eat unsaturated polymonounsaturated fats, which are those seed oils, by the way. Canola oil is a polyunsaturated, I mean, all oils have a little bit of all of them, but it's a predominantly unsaturated fat, which are the ones we're steering people towards. But then the poor person out there who wouldn't have any idea of anything that I just shared with you, all day here is, there's this terrible thing, right? And it...
Don't eat seed oils. I must just go back to butter.
Right.
But then somebody else says butter is a problem. And then, you know, like, there's a problem everywhere. That's why it's so stressing.
Mm-hmm. You know what my favorite, like, fear-mongering thing that people do is they're, like, terrified of chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, literally everything is chemicals.
Yeah.
Like if you look at the chemical compounds of like an apple, it's like terrifying. There's like arsenic in it, you know, but it's like such small amounts of things that like, why are we fussing about this?
Well, it's like you have to look at the big picture. And Maria, I love something that you said before we hopped on, which is like, I put things in my body. How did you say it?
Yeah, that I put worse things in my body besides food, which is like my negative self-talk or when I feel hate for myself or somebody else. That probably brings more damage than what I eat.
I mean, probably.
Yeah. And so I think like what I would encourage anyone out there listening is, first of all, just always get your information from an evidence-based source, right? But second of all, know that there's nuance to it, right? It mm-hmm. matters. Well, how much of that food are you eating? How often are you eating it, right? Like, what are your, I mean, the walking thing, I don't even know how to speak to that because that's just such utter craziness of like,
I'll speak to that.
Okay, should we just sit on our butts now and not walk? Like, what
walk
the heck?
More. Add more walking in as a form of rebellion against that stupidity.
Yeah, so the context matters, your starting point matters, your individuality matters,
well,
right?
Not, I mean, almost nothing is black or white. There's so many variables to the same thing we're talking about. So yeah. What comes to mind when I hear you talk, Elizabeth, is critical thinking. When we listen to something, we really need to, it's just that. And then we follow like cows go into the death thing. You know, we just follow what we're told like that. No, we really need to dig a little
deeper.
Well,
we do need to use our own. Yes, we do. But also I would argue it just really sucks that in a way that social media exists and anyone can go out there and say anything that they want.
Yeah.
It doesn't just happen in social media, but it seems to be a primary place. And
yeah.
then, you know, like there just is like a super small example. Like here I am with my little evidence-based, like licensed, regulated, I'm an actual professional in the nutrition field. And, you know, I just have this tiny little amount of followers. And then like Susie Influencer over there has millions of people who are believing what she says.
Because
yes.
The more controversial probably you say, the more noise it makes and not necessarily means it's true. It is. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. We're losing track of where we're getting our information from. Mm-hmm. And I've said it on my Instagram account as well. Please watch where you're getting the information from.
Mm-hmm.
In any field, really.
Yeah, definitely. I'm curious, Maria, what this whole conversation, what parallels do you see in mental health related topics?
Same. I mean, there's many people out there saying, if you follow these three steps, your depression will go away. I mean, really, if it would be that easy for everyone, you know, so things like that black or white advice giving, it's not really based on what evidence and for whom. So there's a lot out there. Or like I've said this before, like if this exactly happens to you, it means the person you're with has narcissistic personality. So, well, no.
Mm-hmm.
If diagnosing would only take an Instagram post, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have a regulated license or a master's degree or all the years of experience dealing with something. Then we'll leave it to the Instagram influencers to solve the world, and what we can go take a nap if that was the case. But mm-hmm. it's not.
What a disaster that would be.
I know.
If we let social media run the world.
What I think, Elizabeth, another thought is that I think we're living in a culture that we want a quick fix mm-hmm. for everything. We want to be told what to do and do it and fix it. Mm-hmm. I want to eat healthy. What does that mean? Tell me what to eat. I'll do it. I'll do it. And I follow and I'll do it. And because it's that need to feel better and maybe even heal the quick way.
Right.
And from my perspective, the good or the bad news is that to heal emotionally, there is no quick way.
Right.
There's not. It's effort, is doing deep work, is exploring different things. There's no quick. So if anybody out there offers you a quick, easy recipe to live a super happy life with no problems, maybe not.
Yeah. It's the same, I guess, like a parallel thing is, I think sometimes we get this belief of if you get a certain disease, well, there must be a food cure for it, right? If you if you change your diet, then you can cure or fix that. And the reality is, unfortunately, no. Food, it of course your nutrition plays a role in your health, but it's not a magic cure. There are diseases that happen, and you're not going to fix it with your nutrition.
And even the same disease can show differently for different people. Course, so it could be the exact same disease, but it's not the exact same body. Mm-hmm. So even if somebody dealt with something and it worked for them, beautiful, doesn't mean it has to work exactly for you. Because that's the other thing. It's like, oh, I live with depression, so I did this and it worked for me. So now I go on Instagram and tell everyone how to fix their depression. No, what worked for you?
Yeah, that's an anecdote. That's not evidence.
Right.
Right.
And ironically, you're probably selling whatever it is that worked for you. When my dad was dying of cancer, you know, one of his cousins or somebody that he knew kind of came out of the woodwork of like, you've got to buy these shakes that, you know, are so good. I know people that have cured their cancer by drinking these 4 times a day or whatever. And of course, my dad bought the stuff because, like, how can you not try? And like, spoiler, he still died of cancer. But weirdly, his eyebrows and his hair went from gray to black again.
Weird.
So there was something in the shakes that was like, putting gray out of business. I don't know.
It's ironic too, Maria, that you're talking about in the mental health field of sort of like wanting that quick fix, that super easy recipe. In a way, I feel like almost the opposite happens with nutrition is like the basics actually, I say it all the time. It's the overall pattern of your eating that matters most. Are you eating lots of fruits and vegetables? Do you have a high fiber? Like for most people, right? Some people need different dietary considerations based on their own individual circumstances. But at the population level, are you getting a lot of fruits and vegetables? Are you eating a high fiber diet? Like, are you getting, you know, omega-3s? Are you having lean proteins? Like, do you have a lower intake of saturated fat? Like, it's actually relatively basic. I guess that doesn't mean
simple,
easy.
Simple, but not easy.
Yeah, simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy if that's not how you're used to eating or, you know, your relationship with food needs to any of the things. But then there's like all these people who try to make complicated. And then when I come in, it's like, okay, let's just look at your overall pattern. Let's make some like simple tweaks. I think sometimes it's unsatisfying for people in a way. It's not sexy, But it works. It's evidence-based. Like, it's what we know.
Right? When people come to the gym and I say, okay, like 2 half-hours a week should be sufficient for now, everybody looks at me like,
what?
No way. Because they've all been told, like, we need an hour a day of exercise. And, like, true. Like, you want more minutes of movement. But it doesn't have to be, like, weight training the whole time.
Yeah.
We don't need 300 minutes of weightlifting a week.
And also, if you're currently not doing that, to go from that to an hour in the gym every single day, A, it's probably not practical and realistic for you over the long term. But B, it might also cause you an injury in the short term.
Yeah.
So it's just, again,
like, and it's setting you up to fail.
Yeah.
Like, you're definitely going to not sustain that if you go from zero to every day.
Yeah.
Not going to win that battle.
Like, you still need to, I guess my message is hopefully you're able to do the things that help you promote your health, right? But you need to do that and also live your life, right? In a practical, approachable, like, those things should enhance your quality of life, not detract from them.
Yes.
Or and be maybe, your whole life.
And for me, I'm thinking like lower the volume. Like, I really feel that my relationship with food and with myself have become more complicated because of me listening to BS constantly. Being constantly bombarded with contradictory messages most of the time. So then I'm in the middle, like this little thing in the middle, like, but what do I do?
I want to eat healthy, I want to keep my kids healthy, and it's
too much pressure that at the end is causing me more overall health problems than eating whatever I was eating.
Yeah, the waffle you ate for breakfast or something. So I guess one like actionable tool that people could do that is really super impactful go look at what's on your feed. Where are you getting, what magazines are you getting your information from? What, what people, who are they? What are their qualifications? Yep. Do they align with your values? If not, do a detox of all that. Get them out of your
curate
feed.
It.
Block, mute, unfollow. Like, it will help your emotional and mental well-being to get that stuff out. It makes it 100%. Easier to focus on the things that actually are going to help you.
Just because you say something convincingly and you have a lot of followers does not make you an expert or the holder of the truth.
True.
And even, I mean, there's celebrity doctors out there saying stuff that's actually kind of crazy.
Oh, so the walking thing.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. But I mean, I'm thinking about some that we see on TV, like just because the person even does have a qualification, like look at where's their money coming from? Yes. How are they getting paid? Where?
Yes.
You know, you just it's a jungle out there. You gotta be careful.
Bring your machete.
Yeah. Any takeaways you guys want to leave them with?
You know what? I was just thinking that this whole thing is all about dealing with stress, right?
Yes.
This episode's dreadful.
And we've been working on something, so stay tuned.
Yes.
Kind of exciting.
Related to stress.
Something very big.
Or how to relieve stress. It's not related, like it's not to bring you more stress. It's the opposite.
Yeah. Stick with us. We are busy behind the scenes working on something very, very cool that we cannot wait to unveil to you soon. And in the meantime, if you just can't wait and you need that little extra fix of support from the Healing Trio here at Wellness Rebranded, be sure to go to the link in our show notes, download our Ultimate Self-Care Planner. It is full of bite-sized ways that you can actually weave more self-care into your day.
Yep.
It is full of, what else is in there, ladies?
Journal prompts.
Journal prompts that are going to help you think through many of the things we discuss on the show, get to know yourself
better, wellness tips,
your relationship with food better, just spend some introspective time. And then there's some habit tracking tools in there that may be helpful. So go download that. It's free in the show notes. We would love to share it with you. And we will see you back here next time on another episode of Wellness Rebranded.
Thank you for listening. If you want to connect with me outside of this podcast, you can find me on Instagram at coaching_therapist.
I'm Elizabeth. You can find me at Elizabeth Harris Nutrition or in my Facebook group, Health and Healing with Intuitive Eating.
And I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Tara De Leon Fitness. Guys, if you loved this episode or any of our other episodes, we would love it if you would leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps us get the non-diet word out to the rest of the world. So please leave us a review.
Yes, thank you.